Well, welcome to the 5D Academy of Higher Consciousness. I'm Zarathustra, broadcasting live from Los Angeles. The topic of the conversation of this week is going to be about destiny. And this is a perfect opportunity that destiny has brought us to with the COVID-19 and what is happening. It cannot be any more perfect than the way it is right now for the spiritual seeker, that we are forced to be in a monastery. You're in a Tibetan monastery in Tibet. You have your own room. You're staying inside. You have to stay in. And you're forced to look at your existence. The question of what am I doing here? Who am I? Why am I here is stronger for the spiritual seeker than ever, because you're in the apparent reality, your existence is being challenged. We're facing with this virus, and what we think we are may end at any moment. You never know when you're going to get it, what's going to happen, or how bad it's going to be. So you're forced to look inside. You're forced to stop. Look, the whole world has stopped. Most people can't go to work. And now you stay home. You spend time with your family. You cook your own meals. You're doing spiritual work. And for those who are advanced enough and done the work before, now this is the time. And a lot of people are forced to be looking inwards, because when they look outside, there's only fear, worry, and anxiety. When their attention goes in the other world, it's only bad news. There's nothing. There's nothing to save you. So the mind gets more panicking and freaks out and wants to go crazy. You know, it's the mind. This is the death of the mind. The mind who thinks has control is lost its control. And it doesn't matter how many cars I have, how many homes I have, how many employees I have, how much money I have. Everyone is on an equal ground. Everybody is subject to a time machine ticking, ticking. When is it going to be the end? So this is really time to look inwards to see that what is it that's going to go? What is it that is threatened? What is it that's gonna go? I guess I was gonna talk about destiny, but now somehow I'm brought into this other subject. So I guess I'm gonna have to go with the flow of what is happening. But what is really threatened here? Who is going to die? Who is gonna be vanished? Who's gonna lose everything? Let's examine that. Let's just be very straightforward and honest and talk about our main concern, or what is happening in the collective. Let's take a look at it. Let's examine it. This is the time for us to buckle up, tighten up your seat, put all the bullshit aside. All of the bullshit needs to go, and face this. Really take a look. Why are you in this situation? Why are you here? What are you gonna lose? And what are you gonna gain? What's in a stake? What's being threatened? Who is being threatened right now? Who is going to lose? Who is going to die? Let's take a look at it. And the question is me. I am worried. I may die. My family may die. I may lose everything. What's going to happen to the world? What is it going to be like tomorrow or next week or next month? Oh my God, what's going to happen? It's all being questioned by who? By I. I is asking these questions. Me, I. I am very much worried and scared that what's going to happen to me, to this I, because I believe that I am separated. I am an individual entity separated from existence, and I can terminate now. I can end. Yeah, I read a few spiritual books and it says we're all one. And yeah, when I go to my yoga class and I wear my bindi and I do this, or when I go to my meditation and I say, yes, we're all one. It's really cute. But right now I'm shit scared. We're all one, but I'm really frightened right now. I don't want to see anybody and I don't want to touch anyone, as I've been told, and I want to keep my distance and I don't want to help anyone because I may die. I may catch this virus and kills me. But we're all one. Oh yeah, we're all one. Means I am one with the virus. Means I'm one with everyone who's dying. Means I'm one with the entire existence. Means I'm one with the dark and I'm one with the light. And if I'm one with everything, then what's going to happen to me? What can happen to me? Where would I go? Yes, we have to follow the procedure. Yes, we have to be careful. Yes, we have to be respectful. Yes, we have to make sure that we don't spread this virus. We have to do all the things we're asked to do. I agree 100%. But who am I? Who's going to die? Who is this me that now its existence is really rocky? You know, there's an old saying, I read this from a book long time ago. It was from Dan Millman, who wrote The Peaceful Warrior, The Way of the Peaceful Warrior. It's a very beautiful saying because it always stays in my mind. And it says, we go to the spirit when our foundation is shaken, only to find out that it's the spirit who shakes it. The light brings comfort when we're disturbed and disturbs when we're in comfort. For a long time, we've been living in our bubble of this illusion that we are separated. We're separated from the whole. We're separated from everything. Have every right to believe that you have this sense of separation. You have this sense that you are an individual being capable of making your own decisions, capable of having your own free will, because you're separated. Yet, theoretically, you may think or believe that you're one. But your experience, daily experience, every moment experience is separation. You don't feel one with this cup, with this glass. You don't feel one with the virus. You don't feel one with terrorism. You don't feel one with that because you have this sense of separation. And rightfully, you feel this way. But what if I tell you there is no separation? And you've never been separated. And it's impossible to be separated. And this sense of separation that we have, it's a false imagination. It doesn't exist. It's just an imagination. It's a notion that we're separated. But it's not. And I can show it to you. I'll help you to see that. But you have to do a little bit of homework with it. So I'll give you some examples and you will get a glimpse of it. Those of you who truly are willing to do the work, you will begin to get a glimpse of it. But you have to do the work because the conditioned mind, the mind which has been hypnotized and it's been conditioned for thousands of years, not just this life, is rooted very much in the belief of being an individual entity capable of having its own way, capable of manifesting. It has free will, it can manifest. So it's very much rooted, it's fortified in this belief system. So, and now it's being questioned, really being rocked, its existence for the first time in maybe your lifetime. Unless you had near-death experiences, is being rocked, its existence. So when every human being on this planet, when they wake up in the morning, the first thought comes into their mind. Every human being, regardless of what country you're from, you can be from China, you can be from India, you can be from the US, you can be from Afghanistan, you can be Muslim, Jewish, Christian, Buddhist, you can be white, black, yellow, red, it doesn't matter. You can be wealthy, you can be poor, you can be successful, you can be a genius, you can be an average, ordinary person. It does not matter who you are. Every single being on the planet, when they first wake up in the morning, they all have the same thought. One thought for each and every 7 or 8 billion people on this planet. And that thought is the I thought. I am Zarathustra. I am a man. I am Persian. I am American. I am tired. I'm sleepy. I didn't sleep well. I slept well. I'm happy. I'm depressed. I'm worried. I am overweight. I'm slim. I'm rich. I'm poor. I need to work. I need to do this. The first thought comes into your mind is I. So there's this I thought. And this thought of me, of the I, is only can exist. Its existence is depending on a relation with something else. So if this is the subject, its relation only exists with the object. So the mind will come and say, you may come and say, oh my God, Zarathustra, I'm so worried. I have so much thoughts. I'm so stressed. So stress or worry means what? A lot of thoughts happening in your mind. And as a result of that, you don't feel good. So there's the I, there's the me, perceiving, noticing thoughts passing through my mind, noticing thoughts. So there is the subject relating itself to objects. Thoughts are objects because they pass through. Your emotions come and go. They're objects too. They're not there all the time. They come, they go. They come, they go. You're not always happy. You're not always sad. You're not always depressed. Emotions come and go. Same as your body. And those who've been with me for past few years, you remember, for years I've been saying the same thing. You're not your thoughts, you're not your emotions, and you're not the meat. You're the one who's observing of all the three. And you can observe the body's getting old, changing, it's getting young, it's growing, it's changing, it's getting sick, it's getting healthy. You can see that. You've been observing it all these years. And as a result, so you relate yourself to your body. There's an I relating itself to my body, relating itself to an object. Then you, it's you and the world. What is going on in the world? Whether it's the economy, it's the politics, it's the weather, it's whatever it is, or you like something, you don't like something. Let's say you see a tree. And you like that tree. What do you say? You say, I like that tree. Let's say you go to a neighborhood you don't like. I don't like that neighborhood. So there's an I and a neighborhood relating itself to a neighborhood. There's an I liking something. It likes a tree. Then you talk about your relationship. Yeah, you know, I have problems with my relationship with my partner. Or I really love my partner. Or we're doing really well. So again, you're relating yourself, the I that rises inside you relates itself to a relationship. Then you may come and say, wait a minute, what do you mean there is no I? Because I remember my past. I remember my childhood. Yeah, again, there's an I relating itself to the memories of the past. So what happens is this illusion of separation, this me, this I here, separated from this vicious world, this dangerous world, this whatever is happening, this me relates itself to objects. So if you sever the connection, if you sever the connection of this me, this I, you sever its connection with objects. You take those objects out of the equation, then this me, this I, can't stand alone on its own. And immediately it falls into silence. It cannot, that sense of separation, that's me, that you have inside you. If you take its relation, if you sever, you cut, its connection to objects cannot stand alone on its own. It falls back into its source. It's like, follow your thoughts to their source. What is there before you think? Before you think, what's there? You know, nobody really tells us these things because no one ever questions that. It's not in our training, and most spiritual teachings do not talk about this because most spiritual teachings are fortifying. There's a you capable of manifesting things, capable of doing this, capable of doing that. So it fortifies the false illusion that there is a you separated from everything and you can do something. I mean, the idea of the you, the I, can do something. So this ego-based, individual ego-based, gets fortified and gets stronger. And so it causes suffering because now it's being threatened by the virus. The virus may end it, so it's freaking out because it's helpless. It can't do anything against it. But the truth of it is it doesn't even exist. It's not even there. It's an imagination. It's an imaginary separation, separated person. Now this imaginary separated person thinks he's going to die or she's going to die, but it doesn't even exist. And now we're going to get into that. If you follow like a string, you go back and follow your thoughts back into the source. Where do your thoughts come from? So you're going back, let's say there's a pool and thoughts come out of this thing. Now you can do it right now. This is not magic. This is not a belief system. I'm not asking you to believe in me. I'm not asking you to follow me. I'm not asking you to be faithful to what I say. I'm just saying, examine it for yourself. It's very simple. Find out for yourself. Take your attention inwards, follow your thoughts, and see where do they go to. What's there before you think? Because when you think, your thoughts always with an I. There's a sense of I am thinking. I am thinking of this or that. Follow that to the source. Let's do it right now and see what's there. Immediately, there is silence. I don't care if you have a hard time meditating. I don't care. What is your story? You have ADD. Whatever condition on this planet you have, you follow the source of, you follow your thoughts to their source. And it may not last very long. The mind will come back and more thoughts will come. But you will see it, you get a glimpse of it, and this is good. This is the beginning. This is what you need to do. Follow your thoughts back to the source of where they come from and see what happens. Examine it for yourself. Do it right now. If you want to keep your eyes open, you can do it. If you want to keep your eyes closed, close your eyes. Follow your thoughts back to their source. What's there before you think? It's silence. There is nothing. You know why there is nothing? Because the I is not there. Because you're not there. The one you thought you were. Not that you're not there. You're the presence. You're here. But your idea of separation is not there. Hold on a moment, please, because my Instagram ended and I need to start it again. Yeah, thank you. Follow your thoughts back to the source. No matter how great they are, how holy they are, how significant your thoughts are, follow them back to where they come from, and you go back to the same place. It's empty, it's quiet, it's still, it's stillness. And immediately your mind becomes quiet. You do this on a regular basis, it becomes a habit. When your mind wants to go crazy, go into all these different places. What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to the world? You follow it back to the source and it becomes absolutely silent. So then you see for yourself, because you have to prove this to yourself, but it gets very easy because it's your very nature. This is who you are. You are silence. You are presence. You are love. You're the spirit here, which is boundless. So your attention goes back inwards. Then what you do the next is simply, it's very simple. When this notion of me, I am separated, I am someone, I'm capable of doing this, I'm really worried about my existence. I mean, that's the question right now, mainly for majority of people on the planet. What's going to happen to me? It all comes to me. First, it starts with me. Then it's my family, my beloved, my kids, everything. But your very, very first worry is always me. I'm not saying you're not in love with your kids, your family, your parents. You don't love them. But it's the nature of the mind. It's always me comes first. It's not even someone purposely trying to do it and not do it. It's just the way it is. It's always me. So when this me, this I rises, it relates. The only way it can exist, this notion of you, you're this person, it can only exist based on relating itself to something, whether it likes something or doesn't like something, whether it's worried, it thinks, it feels, whatever it is, it relates itself to something. Cut that relation, cut that, sever that connection, then there is just I. You look at it, you severed its connection because I don't really like those people. I don't really want to go out. I can't go out anywhere because I'm not supposed to. Cut that part that I, with anything it's connecting, you cut that part. So there's just going to be the I, and that I can't stand there on its own. It falls back into silence and your mind becomes completely quiet. And the moment you become quiet, as you start doing this, then you start to see the truth of who you are. You begin to encounter yourself. You begin to get a very good glimpse of the presence of who you are, because you are not this body. You're the awareness, the witness of the body. And in your language, you never say as the body, as me. You always say my body. I need to take care of my body. I haven't been very nice to my body. And to your body parts, you refer them as parts. Like if you have a car and you need to buy tires for it, your tires are gone and you need to buy tires, replace the tires. Same thing. My arm, my wrist is broken. I need to cast it. I have a headache. I have my shoulder hurts. So you refer to the body as parts. You don't refer to your body as you. Similarly, you do the same thing. You do not refer to your emotions, your feelings as you. You say, my feelings are hurt. Yeah, Zarathustra, my partner, he cheated on me and he stole all that money from me. Or he cheated with another woman, or cheated with my best friend, and my feelings are hurt. You don't say, I am broken, I am hurt. You refer to your emotions as an object, as something which is outside of you. Or you say, I'm angry. You say, I am jealous. I am happy. I'm depressed. So you identify with an emotion that comes and goes. You're identifying. This I thought inside you identifies itself to an emotion. Then it becomes real. Then you think this is who you are. And there's no end to it because you just suffer. Suffering comes because your attention is on the wrong place. You think you are a person, a human being, a person, and separated from existence. So you have something to say. Your say counts. You don't know you are one with the entire existence, and you have no say, because whatever you say is life talking through you. And us in this life, in this world, we've been giving a script. I was born, and they gave me a script. They said, okay, this is your script. This is your life. You're gonna live this life. It's like an actor entering into a movie set. Hey, we hire you to act in this movie, and this is the script. You can't say in the middle of it that I don't want the script. I want the movie to be different. You're hired. You're to act and play this actor according to the script. And the same thing right now here. You are playing your role in this movie. Whatever happens is happening in this movie. You're just an actor in it. You don't have a say. You can't just say, I don't like this script, or I like. If you don't like the script, don't take the job. Go home. Someone else will be acting instead of you. But if you agree to it, then you have to go through it. And the same thing right now is the same thing. We don't have a say of how life is going to be or how it's going to turn. It's going to be the way it's going to be, because it's being designed, played, orchestrated by the master, by the supreme. And we're these characters playing our roles. But if you misidentify and you think you are real in this, and that's who you are, then you're going to suffer according to the script in this movie. If it's a drama, if it's a heartbreaking, if it's da-da-da-da, you're going to suffer. That's why we have to come back to the source of who we are, to remember the truth of who we are. We're playing our role in this world, but we're not separated. You're not helpless. You are the whole thing. Everything, you're a part of it, and all of it is a part of you. And you discover that, you touch it, you experience it every time. When you become quiet and you go into silence and you're still, whether you can do it on your own, whether you do meditation or you do exercises or you're with your guru, you are in the presence of an enlightened being, an awakened being, then their power of transmission takes over and transmits to you. Or you're able to do it on your own, whatever. Every time you're quiet and you're not thinking, the mind goes away. It falls back into its original place and bliss comes out. You start to feel complete bliss. The sense of all is welcomes. The knowing that everything is happening exactly the way God wants it to be. Nothing is out of order. All is well. This is exactly the script of the movie supposed to be played out. It cannot be any other way. This is how it is, but you are free. You're not in it because you remember who you are. And a sense of bliss and love and presence and expansion comes back. And you can't help it but smiling, because that's who you are. You're not this little itty bitty thing who's needy and afraid and scared and always in fear because she thinks it's gonna die. You're not that person. You are the real deal. But you have to stop projecting on the outside and turn your attention inwards. You gotta do that if you want to stop suffering and recognize who you are. No one else can do it for you. You have to do it yourself with the right guidance. And now this is the time. It's either this or suffer. You can choose. You want to suffer, suffer. It's okay. No one's going to hold you back to suffer. Nobody's going to come and knock on your door and say, don't suffer. You want to suffer, keep suffering. You have done that for thousands of years. Many, many lifetimes you have come and suffered because you believe that you're someone separated. And that's the illusion your mind creates. Now it's time to turn the mind, turn the attention inwards where there is no mind. Hence, there is no separation. And you feel the love which you are. And this love that you are is so powerful. its magnitude is beyond imagination, that by just being silent, being quiet, being by yourself, being in this place, this love transforms whatever it touches. It's in parameter. Anything that it comes to touch, it transforms it. Same as if you're at the presence of someone who has a flu, has a cold, they're sniffing, they're coughing, most probably you're going to catch their cold. Same way, if you're at the presence of this love, this silence, this transmission will penetrate you or penetrate anyone's around you, and they get contracted. They become quiet too. So I'm changing the academy's time to 1.5 hours, especially these days, because I would like to spend more time with you and be with you. Anybody has a question, you're welcome to either raise your hand right on the chat box or unmute yourself and ask me your question. I'm here available for you. We have the academy page. I have my Facebook pages. You're welcome to reach out in these days, in these times. I make myself available as much as I can to all of you. My website is zarathustra.tv. My email is info@zarathustra.tv. So feel free to reach out. And we have a few online courses. Tomorrow, we're having a shamanic healing circle that it's 2 hours and it's available for anyone who would like to join. So you can go on my website and sign up. And that's going to be tomorrow. I think it's from 10 to 12 or 10:30 to 12:30. I think it's 10 to 12. I'm not exactly sure. A California time. On a weekend, I'm teaching a workshop. It's called Heart Awakening Third Eye Activation Training. It's a 2-day workshop and it's 4.5 hours a day, starting from 8:30 in the morning, California time, till 1 p.m., which will be 16:30 to 21 in European time. And then next Tuesday, next Thursday, I have a distant healing workshop for 2.5 hours. So feel free, go on my website if you want to keep connected, and you're welcome to join in. What an incredible time. What a powerful time on the planet. Let's take a moment of sending our love and light and healing energy to all the beings that are suffering, to those who, the ones lost their lives and their families are suffering, the people who are ill right now, they're suffering. Let's send them our love, our light, our support. We are the healers. We are the light workers. We're the one who's doing spiritual work. So collectively, we send our love to our brothers, sisters, all over the world. It doesn't matter where, whether it's from China or from India or from Iran or wherever, race, religion, color does not matter. They're all our brothers and sisters. We send them our love and light, wishing them speedy recovery. We're the ones who've been working on ourselves, and this is our moment to stay still and centered, because our family, friends who don't do spiritual work, they are very much in panic and worry and anxiety. Rightfully, they are, but they're identified with it. Those of you who do spiritual work, it's your duty to stay still and not get identified. I'm not talking about being reckless and not careful. I'm not saying that. I'm saying to be still and emanating that stillness to your surrounding, the love, the comfort of the meditator, and the one who recognizes God is within. It's our time to demonstrate it. We've done all this work and all these trainings. Now it's time that we put it to practice. I have a message came in, just one moment. Okay, you're welcome. Yeah, you're welcome, Annette. I got your message. Uh-huh. Thank you. This too shall pass like anything else. Let the creation be taken care of by the creator. The one who has created everything is the one who's responsible for it and will take care of it. The one that wills that these planets turn around themselves and turn around the sun. The one that wills that day turns to night, night turns to day, seasons switch, winter to spring, spring to summer and fall. That one is responsible for operating its own creation. The only job we have, and that must be our priority in this life. Otherwise, it's a waste of this life. If we come, we are in this life, and we don't prioritize self-awakening as our number one priority, then we wasted the life. And those who their priority is only to make more money, more accumulation of wealth, more stocks, more this, more that, blah, 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 obviously are not ready for this work. And they have to come back because they identify with the I thought as a separate entity, and there, after their death, the I will come back and manifest and creates another body. But for those of us who've come to awakening and consciousness and we got a glimpse of who we are, our job is to prioritize self-awakening as the number one mission in this life, to awaken from this nightmare, to awaken from the dream that's called the world, to come to full self-realization. Therefore, we use all of our means, whatever we can, dedicated to this work. For me, I spent 30 years of my time, money, resources in search of the truth. I went to India, I went to different teachers, Brazil, different shamans, different gurus, because I had one goal. I wanted to realize myself. That was my most important mission in this life, self-awakening, self-realization. And now that we're in this situation, that should be our priority, to recognize the truth of who we are, to discover the true love, which is here in the absence of the mind, where fear, worry, and anxiety do not exist, and there is no room for them. It's pure love and light. And that is not something that we understand intellectually. That is something we must come to realize and experience at every moment of our life. Then we're free. Our academy will be next week, same time. I'm considering maybe if I can broadcast on an evening, I do another academy in an evening. I'm considering it. I'm trying to see where I can fit it in my schedule, but it's possible that I can broadcast two times in 1 week, once at this time in the morning and another time in the evening. But I have to figure out how that would work with those of you who live in Europe. So but it's on my mind and I'm looking at it. So I may be able to create a situation that we can be together and this is available to each and everyone. And we can come together and connect our hearts with each other. All is well. Stay in your heart. Stay in this place. Go beyond your mind and see for yourself. Encounter the divine self, the love that is here. And you see for yourself that everything is exactly the way it needs to be. And our beautiful Lord God, Her Majesty, the Supreme Soul, is taking care of everything. All of us are taken care of. Namaste.